Everybody, welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I am Ash Riot.
She's Ash Riot.
Yep.
Today she's decided to stay Ash Riot.
Yep.
I am thinking as we're listening to the Spun Son of Everyone intro, we should call ourselves the Spun Son Radio Show. Spun Son of Everyone Radio Show. For those of you who aren't familiar, that's one of our songs. We are also a band, as well as highly intuitive people.
Yes, a mixture of both.
That's why we have topics like we have tonight.
Which is?
You tell me. Hauntings.
No such thing or cha-ching.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
We will discuss the actual reality of experiencing spirit, quote-unquote ghostly activity, as opposed to the Hollywoodized, money-driven propaganda of ghosts and hauntings. And we just want to figure out how we can weed out the truth from the craze of the media-driven perceptions of the great beyond, which all too often focuses on creating fear and separation from this, our physical reality.
I want to focus mainly on that last part. If, you know, a lot of this, in terms of our media in Hollywood and film and whatnot, they presented ghosts most often, more frequently, as something to be feared and something that's separate from us and something that's quite foreign. And I really, really, really want to stress my own personal belief and opinion and experience that it's not about fear and it's not about separation. It's about recognition that death, in fact, is not the end of it all.
Which is important because that's basically, I mean, we could talk for hours about this, that, you know, the fear of death is what spurs on many things like religion.
Well, most of us, you know, live our lives based on that fear of death. And, you know, why else would we create bucket lists?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we want to get all of, I think sometimes we can feel a little bit stressed out in our own lives because there's that sense of urgency and immediacy and death is coming upon us. And, you know, we really don't know how long we have here. I mean, some of us will live well into our 80s, 90s, maybe even 100, like my grandmother. And some of us may only make it to our 20s or our 30s. And I think Abraham Lincoln said it really best. It's not the life that you it's not the years that you have in your life. It's the life that you have in your years.
That's true.
And I'd really like to, you know, give people a little sense of solace and a little sense of peace and so that they don't feel or have this sense of urgency, which then kind of becomes almost just this stressful way of living, of ticking everything off and not even really truly being in your moments and enjoying being here. It's more about doing,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
What am I doing? What have I done? What could I tell people I've done? So many of us define ourselves by our accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And how about if we were just to define ourselves by our being?
That's true.
We don't really live in a society or a culture that can accept that.
No,
they just think we're lazy.
Well, it's just fear. I mean, even like, not to do with spirituality so much, but even the horrific things that happened in Boston. And, you know, it's crazy because that's getting so much media coverage, yet things are happening every day everywhere else. And we're just living in fear, but it's kind of pushed down our throats. We don't really know what to believe or what to concentrate on. And it's just, it's effed up, man.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we want to start off by inviting you all to call in at any point during the show. Call in numbers 888-627-6008. That is 888-627-6008. Or you can call us through Skype. And the Skype name is just BBS Radio.
You can also tweet. I put it out there today. We have a good friend, Bob, who lives in Pennsylvania, and he asked us on Twitter if we would be willing and open-minded. And I think Brent asked this last time.
Yeah, if he could text or...
If he could text or, yeah, tweet. So we welcome your tweets. If you have any comments or if you have any questions, tweet us through @hologrammusic.
Yeah, so please do call in, and we're going to still carry on the offer. If you call in, you get a free hologram song. We'll email it to you. So also, speaking of hologram songs, we've been super busy in the studio working our butts off.
Yeah.
Song after song, and finally
it's been
having...
great working.
Yeah, great working.
Feels good, creating.
Finally having the means to record,
yeah.
You know, with the quality we want to, but not overdoing it. And I think that that's where a lot of bands go wrong. And I'm going to be so bold as to say wrong, because it's all so cookie cutter nowadays, in the pop world or the top 40 world. And
we know, cause we're DJs too.
Yeah.
So we're keeping abreast of all the music because we have to in our,
yeah. So it's nice. It's nice to be able to get the quality we want, maybe a little harder to do it than we want, but, we're doing it, and we have just a snippet. I think it's a 40-second snippet of one of the songs we were working on. The reason why we're not playing the full thing is because we're going to be releasing it on iTunes. We're going to have the big debut, but for now, we have about 40-second clip of our new song called I'm Back.
And I wanted to say, how apt for us to say I'm back, because we're talking about ghosts.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, I'm back. Just think of it as your auntie or something who's passed on, and she's going, hey, hello, I'm back.
Yeah, and we're gonna play the song twice in the show, just for the people who, if they come sign on late, they can hear it maybe later in the program.
Sure. So, yeah. So Dawn's been so kind as to convert it for us.
Yeah, thanks, Dawn. You rule. And let her rip, Dawn.
I'm So that was I'm Back. I'm back.
I'm back. Caught you off guard.
That was the beginning of the song, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was like the middle of the song that I sent him.
So did I.
So that is the intro and up to the chorus of I'm Back. You know, when you're a band and you're sending your songs places and you're putting them on websites and iTunes.
Your mind is on many multitudes of things.
So that's some of I'm Back. And we are so excited to show you.
Yeah, so that's one of our songs that we've been working on, and that's going to be our first release since we've released Sucker Number 93, which was last year already. So we're quite excited with all these songs that we've been writing and that we're recording now, and that's just a little taste of where we're going with it. So we've just found out, we are talking to Dawn as we talk to you, that we in fact did send him the whole song, and we're going to play the whole song a little bit later on for you so you can hear the whole song.
Yeah, we're just in that mindset of, hey, it's a new day, what the heckage? We're just going to let you hear the whole song.
I love
live improv radio.
We're live. We're coming to you live. And once again, our topic is hauntings, no such thing, or cha-ching. I think that we should do a little bit of an introduction about ourselves. Why do we feel, I'm sure people are thinking this, why do we feel that we can talk about hauntings?
Well, I think that it's so mainstream now, which is weird because, I mean, weird and not weird. I mean, it's been such a long time coming that more of this is brought to the forefront, but it says in our title, Haunting's No Such Thing or Cha-Ching. And, you know, how much is a good thing? How much is drawing negative attention to something that should be just more accepted?
Yeah, but what connection do you have to hauntings or to ghosts? I mean, this is I'm just kind of on playing devil's advocate here. I'm kind of on the other end going,
why would you ask me that?
Because well, I'm pretending I'm out in the listening audience going, well, these girls are musicians and they're DJs.
Yep.
And I mean, there's so many other things that we are that we couldn't even get into, because just like you, we've had a variety of experiences in our life. And so we've done a lot of things in our lifetimes, but why are we talking about hauntings? You know, most people, most musicians, who do you know out there right now, any musicians, any creative artists that are talking about the spirit world, that are talking about the other side?
Well, if you like harder music, there's a band called Calabrese. Every single one of their songs is about the spirit world.
Oh, okay, there you go. So listen to Calabrese. I would also like to bring in Incubus Succubus.
Yeah, Incubus Succubus for sure.
Yeah, so there's another
band.
They're
really good. You guys should listen to Incubus Succubus, Calabrese.
Who else?
There's so many. Well, I mean, even from maybe a different kind of more occult standpoint, but Ghost is a lot about the spirit world.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because we're going to go see Ghost.
We're going to see Ghost
in a week and a day, and they're going to be coming to Vancouver. And it's interesting because Ghost, kind of their whole shtick is they present themselves as, I guess they're not, they don't even say it, but they let you make the assumptions that they're Satanists or that they're
veiled about it as well. Even though they're obvious, they're veiled in a certain way that's hard to describe.
Okay, so just to get this straight, I am not a Satanist.
Neither am I.
But I am definitely open-minded to seeing, you know, as opposed to staying in fear, because I don't believe personally in the devil. I don't believe in Satan. I don't believe, and I know, because I used to be a very fundamentalist Christian, and I used to be do a lot of witnessing. So I'm very familiar with Christianity. And I remember one of the things I used to say to people as part of my true belief system at the time. I'm going to cut myself some slack here, because the reason why I followed Christianity is I thought Jesus rocks, and I still think Jesus rocks, because the whole premise, my understanding of his message, was love. That's it, period. All the other stuff just got caught up in the Bible, which was written by men, and then manipulated by men. And that's, again, a whole other thing. But my point here is that I would say that, you know what? The fact that you don't believe in the devil, that's how the devil's gotcha. Because I was taught to say that.
Yeah.
And now I'm, you know, many years later, and I'm looking in retrospect, and I feel badly about the things I said. I did feel that I was bringing goodness to people, because I definitely wanted people to be saved. And I put that in quotation marks, because we're already saved, just so you know that. But anyways, I just, you know, there was so much fear around the devil. And we used to talk about, oh, you know, demon possession. And you know, you see movies like The Exorcist. And this is, again, getting back to our hauntings and talking about the Hollywood, how Hollywood, you know, the paranormal stuff, and Amityville Horror and all these things where it's about demon possession or demon infiltration and demons coming from Satan. And Satan is the ultimate dark lord. And then these demons are their, you know, his minions. And anyways, it's very much, it can really capture you. And it, and for a lot of people, this belief system actually coexists with giving them reasons or helping them in their minds to understand why we do evil things to each other,
mm-hmm.
or even to ourselves. If we can blame an individual, mm-hmm. or a spirit being, devil, demon, whatever, and say, well, you know, I wouldn't have done that, you know, if I wasn't a dark person or being to begin with, if I wasn't born into sin as a sinner, enslaved by Lucifer, who is, you know, that the most beautiful angel of all, who cast himself, was cast out of heaven and became Satan and the devil. And you know the story. I mean, those
storybook.
Those of you who have, you know, Christian belief systems are familiar, and it's also Judaism too. I think that it's gotten into a lot of different belief systems. I think even, there's something about it in the Quran. I'm not an expert here, but for those of you who are, please call in.
Yeah.
We welcome your calls. But anyways, that being said, it's just this whole ghost band has set up this mystique around Satanism. And if people really were to understand what Satanism is, which I didn't at the time, I thought it was all dark. And I read a little bit about it, and I recognize that it's not that much to be feared. They're not actually killing babies, and
those are the people
doing
that are,
a sacrifice.
Just like the people that are going around and doing crap in the name of God. I mean, it's the same way there, and it's just realizing the duality of light and dark, which we've done a show about before,
and just coexistence, yeah. Right? We all have choices. We are comprised of both, and we each have the beauty of free will where we get to decide what we're going to focus on. And we can all focus on either side.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And there's none of us who is exempt.
And there's no, I really don't think that there's, you know, religion equals good and Christianity equals good. I think that love equals good. So if there is love, I love the love in any religion.
Yeah, anything.
Whatever it is, whether it's Christianity, yeah. Whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Satanism, whether it's, you know, anything. If there is love there, then that's great. Whether it's love of self, whether it's love of others, whether it's all of the above, there has to be more emphasis on love put into anything.
So this is why I'm open-minded to going to the ghost concert.
And this is why I bought her a ticket.
Because I don't feel, I honestly don't feel that they actually believe.
No,
it's tongue-in-cheek, I believe.
It's very tongue-in-cheek and sarcastic. And what they're doing is, I feel like they're just bringing forth a new way of thinking.
Well, they're forcing you to take a look at something that you yeah. maybe have feared
all your life
and thought, you know, and looking at it in a different way, or maybe you've taken it on because you thought, well, that's going to bring me power and it's going to bring me, you know, and you might have decided you're going to be a Satanist.
Well, what they believe
to
is
be
the
powerful, yeah. Who knows, right?
Well, that's what their message really is. It's like, it's you. You just to believe rather in a doctrine, to believe in yourself. And I like that. And I think it's fun. Like the whole mystique around the band, like no one knows their identities, but people
yeah,
figured some out.
All masked.
And so that's our call out to Ghost.
Yeah. And again,
listen to
I'm
them.
Just,
check them out.
I do believe that it's important for all of us to have open minds, because without open minds, we close ourselves off from the potentiality
of
beautiful things.
Remember back in like the late 90s, and Marilyn Manson was responsible for all of that, you know, any shootings or whatever. It's like everyone blamed
him.
He
was blamed, yeah.
Fast forward 15 years.
He was blamed for Columbine, wasn't
everything.
He?
Yeah. Fast forward 15 years, he was never as overt as a band like Ghost.
Well, the Beatles were blamed, Helter Skelter, because that was written by Charles Manson at one yeah. of his murder scenes, that, you know, they blamed the Beatles. The Beatles created this monster who in turn, you know, murdered, tragically murdered human beings. And so look at the musicians who've been, you know, the art that's been blamed
it's even
for
more than,
heinous crimes.
But, you know, it's even more than musicians, because I'm going to bring it back to the Hauntings thing and like the No Such Thing or Cha-Ching, where is if Ghost was around back then when Marilyn Manson was getting blamed for everything, who would have been to blame? Like, really? Like, fast forward 15 years, and today a band like Ghost is saying such more radical religious
things. Well, they're overtly saying we are Satanists, right?
Or something, yeah.
Or something to that effect. Whereas Marilyn Manson never professed
exactly.
any kind of connection to any kind
but
of religion
that's,
or
that's where it gets,
leader.
That's where it's about mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why shows like Ghost Hunters, I was looking that show up today and I was researching it, and that show it has the budget. It started off with a great premise about just finding haunted locations in Europe and stuff and going to see them. And, you know, even from the opinions I've read, everybody was saying, you know, season one, when they first started out and the things that they do off television were really inspiring, and people wanted to actually search out that aspect of spirituality for themselves,
mm-hmm.
like spirit continuation.
Yeah.
And then because the money got involved, because they got more mainstream, they could start using effects. And I'm not calling Ghost Hunters fake. I'm not going to say that. But I am going to say that things can be doctored very easily with money. And
with, you know, the right
yeah.
program, the right computer program.
exactly. And that's the difference between a show where there's no budget and you're just going around to try and really prove that something exists. Or Hollywood gets into it, and that's where I was drawing the comparison with Ghost and Marilyn Manson, because Ghost they're still relatively European.
Yes, well, they are from Europe.
Exactly, and they are still they are not a household name here in North America yet.
No.
Whereas Marilyn Manson was everywhere. And Ghost Hunters, it is definitely a household name. Everybody knows the show with the dark and the green faces and the fake scratches
and the blonde lady
and the blonde lady
and her husband Carl
And that's it. When things get noticed, a lot of things can become watered down. And like a lot of music, that can happen. But I don't know, I'm just a fan of integrity. And when there is integrity, whether that's mainstream or not, I will give my attention to it. But if I sense that something has been doctored or watered down, I don't really want any part in it. And maybe that's dangerous in a certain aspect because it will keep me from finding some sort of truth, but I don't think so. I'd rather separate myself from things that I don't feel resonate with me.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's what would be perfection for each of us to have, is that goal of integrity. And that's what I've spoken about so much on this show.
Mm-hmm.
My own complete commitment to authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, you know, it's pretty brutal to have another person's authenticity kind of reveal itself to you. But the matter is, for me, it doesn't matter, even if it's brutal and it hurts,
mm-hmm.
and it's a bit shocking, it's sure nice to know it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing here. If we're going to actually sincerely and with an open heart and an open mind go after the idea that life does indeed exist past death, although it's a transformation and it alters slightly, but if we want to seek that and we want to know the truth around it, then I think that any show or any kind of a person who is, you know, wanting to say, is this right or not? There's a lot of paranormal investigators, and there's a lot of people are of many camps. And I would say majority are of the camp that it doesn't exist. Most
yeah.
people are, if I can't see it, I don't believe it.
Yeah, it's true.
But the eyes are only one part of our six senses. They're, and yet
yeah.
we rely far too much on the eyes, and we forget about the sixth sense. And you know, most of us call our sixth sense our gut or our intuition. And we kind of just relegate it. I was actually speaking to a client recently about this, because I also am doing psychic readings and that kind of thing, mediumship with people as well. And I was speaking with a person about this and explaining this and saying, you know, we kind of turn that part of us off because we say, okay, it's nice to have a gut feeling. It's nice to have that intuition. And oh, how exciting it is when we recognize the correlation between how our intuitive mind does go into our physical world. Like, for example, you think about, this is the typical example most people talk about. You think about a friend, and within 5 minutes, your friend calls you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's an example of the intuitive mind at work, the sixth sense at work. And we're all excited and we go, hey, wasn't that cool? But we kind of relegate it to trickery, or we relegate it to that
coincidence.
Coincidence, or even that place of wasn't that cool, but it, you know, it won't happen again or whatever. We just don't give it the weight or the merit that it deserves, or we don't explore it any further.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of leave it on the shelf, and we rely on the five other senses. And we as musicians and as artists, of course, we're very, very, very in tune with our senses and our emotions and our, you know, our sensory ability, our touch, the tactile, everything, our ears, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
the music and our sight as a visual artist,
mm-hmm.
my sight is very important. But also as an artist, my sixth sense is vital.
Well, that's interesting that you say, because, and very obvious, but at the same time, shows like Ghost Hunters and everything, I think that with us even basically being aware that there is a sixth sense, a show like that can be, honestly, it can either be really intriguing and inspiring, or it can be completely damaging. Because if we're seeing something that is doctored in any way, I mean, you could say this about the news too, but in spirituality's case, if we watch something and it's doctored and we basically want to be proved right, that something can be true. Like, say, you know, you're watching on Ghost Hunters, a door opening and closing on its own, and you're basically waiting and waiting and waiting to see that yourself. Or you're trying to find some parallels between that show and your life, and you're not seeing any, you're going to be thinking, well, I guess it's not real, and that is just fake crap. So it's about keeping it so real that you, and remaining so tapped in that you can really feel, see, and just experience it honestly. And that's where I think that shows like, and I'm not singling out Ghost Hunters because it's entertaining. It's totally entertaining. But I mean, there's lots of shows, even that, remember that show, the medium show, those two women?
Yeah, that was Rescue Mediums.
Rescue Mediums.
But they're from England.
From England, yeah. There's a lot of activity, I guess, over in England. But it's about deciphering even what you see. And I mean, we tell our children that. We tell people that, you know, if you're in, you know, watching the news, you know, don't take it all in. They're showing you what they want to show you. Or, I mean, it's just there's a certain level of discernment that you have to exercise in most things. And I think that even with the haunting shows, there's a certain amount that does need to take place. But I mean, I'm always excited when I hear people tell me stories about things that have happened to them, because that seems a lot less filtered and that seems a lot more raw and a lot more real. And, you know, even when I'm working with my students or something, and, you know, even if they don't know that I you know, have this side of myself or have it incorporated into me, rather, because I believe we all do. And they mention something and they're like, I have to tell you something that happened to me. And I know you're not going to believe it. And I say, oh, yeah, I'll believe it. What is
I'll
it?
I'll believe it. You have no idea. Yeah.
And then they tell me, and that's when I get really excited, because people are having the courage to say something and not see that they're crazy. And that's where shows and more mainstream ideals, like, you know, the Rescue Mediums or whatever show it is, that's where it's helping us, because it is even Long Island Medium.
I was just going to mention
she's really stepped out there, and she's received, you know, not only a lot of criticism, but I mean, that's like, I think one area where it is going kind of cha-ching, like people and news and television stations, they're getting a lot of money from this basic thing that we all have ingrained in us, but it's now.
Yeah, but they all took a chance at the beginning. You've got to sort of look at the beginning of everything. Like most people, she took a big chance.
She's
they
great.
Took a chance because, you know, it's not that mainstream. But the beauty of it, and I applaud her, because she is actually making it something that is not only palatable for people, the mm-hmm. fact that she can speak to people on the other side, but also it's about, she does it for love, because of love, and she does it because it's about healing.
For
it's
the
about
right
reconnection.
Reasons. It's not just entertainment.
It's not about her, you know, we're all on this planet, and unfortunately we live in a planet where we need money to pay our rent and our mortgages and our, you know, car insurance and whatnot. So of course we have to have a standard of charge and certain, so I don't begrudge her that at all.
Oh, neither do I.
But what I'm excited about is that I do feel since 2012 that we are shifting into more of a, maybe an intrigue, but also an acceptance of something outside ourselves and other than ourselves. And I think that this is important and imperative, because that in and of itself helps us to connect to the sixth sense, which I believe ultimately for all of us will be so in tune that we'll be living on an entirely different vibrationally level in terms of the world and our experience here, because it's necessary for us, absolutely necessary for each of us to embrace our sixth sense, to like drawing. Like if you, I've had people tell me, I'm not an artist, I can't draw. And I tell them, yes, you are, and you can. All you have to do is practice. And you have to have confidence. And so it's the same thing with the sixth sensory world, is that you have to practice.
Yeah.
You have to practice connecting to your sixth sense. You have to get an understanding as to what, where it is in your body, in your psyche, and have a dialogue so you understand what it, you understand the difference between your psychic voice and your imagination.
Well, I get it. I even had a text from one of my students who I know who's listening, and yesterday, and he was saying, oh my God, like, look at this video of this little girl playing guitar. And, you know, if she's this good at this age, you know, how am I gonna get, you know, why should I even play, kind of thing. And I'm thinking, well, that's completely, I mean, nothing and no one can stop you from anything that inspires you or anything that you believe you're called to do. And there's going to be different abilities. There's going to be different expressions of it, and it doesn't make yours any less valid than anyone else's. And this guy, he's got such great imagination, and he's, you can feel the soul when he plays. And even though he's a bit shy sometimes, he's got it, you know. And I don't like to think that we live in a world where we look down on people who are new at something, or
never.
But people,
no matter what age you start,
exactly,
right?
And people do. And I mean, at the same time, I really like to just, I like to prove people wrong. It's fun. And I think that that's why it's I think that's why I entertain the shows like this, is because not only is it a part of my life, but I like to just go, yeah, that's true. And so-and-so who said this wasn't possible, there it is.
Nothing's impossible.
Nothing is impossible.
And just opening your mind to the possibilities is an exciting thing to do. And so our toll-free numbers, if you're in the United States of America or Canada, call us at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Share any experiences you've had.
Ask us any questions. It doesn't matter about what. And if you're shy,
if you're shy,
just call
you
in.
Got your phone?
Just call in anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Call in. Call us, please.
Or tweet us.
Because we definitely love to hear these kind of things.
Well, yeah. And, we don't want you to think you're alone. If you've had some really weird experience and you're thinking, nah, no way, share it with us, because we'll go, yeah, way.
And you know that we'll have Ash's mom on later. So she'll be able, she definitely is schooled in all of this. So we'll be able to hear from her later.
So just getting back to my own, when I was asking that question, and you almost were kind of like, why are you asking me this? But I think it's a legitimate question, because I would ask this very much.
Oh, I was just kind of tongue in cheek.
Okay. Because I would ask us, I'd go, well, why are you girls talking about this and what's your experience? And I will just say that my experience has grown exponentially in the last probably 5-6 years. And I originally had experiences with the sixth sensory world back when I was a child, teenager. It was quite apparent to me. And then I kind of had just life stuff. And it's almost like you can, if you don't pay a lot of attention to it, you actually do quieten that sense of yours. And some of us are going, that's just too crazy. I'm not even going to explore it. We kind of put it down for a while. And then I was looking in, it's funny, continuing education, I was really feeling more drawn and led. I was reading more books about life after death. I was reading more books about psychic phenomenon. And I was going, yeah, this kind of resonates with me. This is really intriguing. And I kind of equated it to my earlier experiences. And I never really shared a lot, because I just thought nobody could handle it's not something that you go, by the way, you know, it's not something that most of us are very comfortable with in sharing, because if we do, chances are most often we're met with, for example, imaginary friends for children. I very much believe that they're not imaginary. But so most people, they just sort of, oh, isn't little Billy sweet? You know, he's, you know, with his little friend, and oh, let's pretend that Billy has a friend there, you know, and meanwhile, Billy does have a friend there. And so that confuses little Billy, because he's going, well, wait a minute, I see this person, and you are telling me basically you're don't believe me, but you're just trying to be polite. So therefore, I guess I got to shut this off, because this is, I'm not normal. And we're always wanting to be normal. We're desperate to be normal. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it is just basically pushed away from other people's disbelief and their chastisement. So, you know, coming back full circle as an adult, I start exploring. And so I was looking at my continuing ed for my city and the different courses that were offered. And there was a spirit guide course. And I'm going, this resonates. I'm gonna check this out. And I went to it, and I met this woman, and she was actually, you know, very important in my life at the time. In opening my mind and helping me to re-embrace that which I had let go of. And that was the beginning for me. And I got involved in a spiritualist church, and I'd never been. And the only reason I went to the spiritualist church is not because I'm a spiritualist, because I'm not. But the woman who I'm speaking of had a class there. And I saw in the front of the church, it said, we we're open to all creeds, all peoples. You know, we just really want to just be about love. And I'm thinking, this is the perfect church for me, because I'm kind of done with the judgmental stuff. And I'm done with these are the rules. And if you don't follow them, you're out of here. Or we're going to just, you know, either excommunicate you or shame you away. Because I didn't think that was very much based in love. So it attracted me. And first experience I had there I got a reading from a woman, and it was she was talking to me about my uncle was in the room. And at this point, I'm going, okay, I don't know. But when she starts, she said his name, which kind of, you know, it's not a regular name. So I'm going, okay. And then she starts saying things that he was telling her, and there's no way that anybody could have known except for him. So then I'm going, oh, wow, this is pretty wild. And I ended up staying with that church, again, not as a spiritualist, but just as a participant. And I was the president of the board on that church as well. So I was very much involved, and it got me my kickstart again. I call it my re-kickstart into opening up to my psychic development and my mediumship abilities. So well, that's my history.
See, that's really cool because you just went not on a whim, but on something you felt. And see, that's really cool because I was one of those kids with imaginary friends, but they weren't imaginary friends. They were creepy people. Well,
they weren't creepy. They were creepy. People that you weren't familiar
they
with.
They were exactly. To me, when I was three and there's a woman in my room, I didn't know what to think. So that was my first encounter, but then I just turned it off for a while, and I haven't been able to turn it off since it turned back on since I was probably around, I don't even remember, 21. It's been just full
course. 7 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then before that, it was there, but it wasn't forefront.
Yeah, you just kind of put the little, it's almost like pulling a drape. You kind of pull a drape between you and it.
Yeah.
You go, okay, I'm just not going to pay attention.
Exactly.
And I'm just busy with my physical world stuff.
Exactly.
And I think one of the things, too, is I think it's really important that we don't get too caught up, though.
Yeah.
In this, because we have to very much live in this life and in the physical world.
The dog is eating a piece of paper on the ground. I think
that?
He fully
oh, has coffee on it.
Our dog Travis, our band dog, Cheryl's dog, but he's now mine too because he's a part of the.
He's the hologram.
He's
guy.
The hologram dog, and he loves my mom and my dad so much. They're his grandparents, so he's part of. He's I like to say he's my dog too, and
he belongs to.
He
everybody.
Loves coffee. He loves coffee so much, and he loves anything that's sweet. He's just—he's the cutest dog in the world, and he's sits like a human boy. He likes to wear clothes. He'd put them on himself if he could. He gets really excited if you even hold something up for him to put on. He runs, and he loves human food, but he's a little chunky, and we're trying to get him to lose a bit of weight. But I don't know. He's cute. He's just cute, and he likes coffee and.
So he was eating, I had a business card, I guess I somehow spilled coffee on it, and he's eating the business card, the coffee part off of it.
Yeah, it was really funny once we left him alone and we came home, and somehow, somewhere, he got into something, climbed a fridge, I don't know, but found a whole pack of Milk Duds and ate them. He's still alive.
Yeah, he's still alive. I was pretty worried about the chocolate, but he did okay.
Maybe because he truly is a boy inside of there, and he can eat chocolate because it's not going to kill him.
You never know. But, what time?
Yeah, let's play I'm Back now.
Yeah, I think we should.
We're really excited because we're in the studio and we're just rocking it. We've been spending so much time. We've been DJing as well with Spin Doctor and Girl Grooves. And we just did a wedding last night in Richmond, which was great. And so our life has pretty much been, well, teaching for me and all of Cheryl's stuff and her psychic awesome otherworldly things and DJing and music. So we lead a pretty full life, and we have just been so excited. We wrote a new song last week and recorded it all in the studio in one day.
Yeah.
It's sort of still demo, but we're getting there for all of you who are interested in our music. And
and thank you so much too. We know you're listening, and we know that a lot of you have emailed us already and tweeted, and
we appreciate that.
We appreciate it very much. We know you're a little shy, and maybe even think we're even stranger now that you know.
Yeah, and this is our new song. It's called I'm Back. It's our new single. It's going to be released on iTunes within the next few weeks, and we're just so stoked that we are doing music and we are able to do it the way we want to, with the people we want to, and it's great. So this is I'm Back.
The whole song.
The whole song,
time,
I'm
not
Back.
Just the beginning. That was I'm Back by Hologram. We are Hologram, and we are here on Sunday, April 21st, with our show, Hauntings, No Such Thing, or Cha-Ching, and that's our brand new single that we're going to be releasing on iTunes within the next couple weeks. We wanted to share it with you. We also wanted to talk a little bit about why is it that...
That? I don't know what you're going to say.
Why is it... I think it's important, the reason why we brought this topic up, and I was saying this before we shared our song, I was saying that it's important for us to live our lives here in the physical world. And I've had intense deaths happen to me at an early age. My father died when I was young. I've had family members die. I've had friends die. And it's very intense when you lose somebody. I've had a friend recently, she lost her son. And that was horrific for her, traumatic, you know. And for those of you who have lost people, only you know your own experience around your despair and your grief. And that sense of the finality of death and feeling that we will never see those people again. And even if our belief system is such that we are told or we are wanting to believe that we will see them again, there's a part of us sometimes that just doesn't because it feels so final. And so to those people who are out there who can relate to this, having lost somebody, having that sense of ultimate disconnection and the despair around it, I wanted to just offer you some solace in if you were to practice focusing on what's going on around you. And I say this to people that I work with too. The people who have passed can actually communicate with us. But when we have the veil of, well, if you're intoxicated and whatnot, that's pretty well impossible. But if you have a veil even of disbelief, doubt, that's the biggest one. Doubt is a real, real killer. But if even if you have one small little iota of open-mindedness around the possibility that they could in fact be around you or that they could in fact try to contact you, even that belief or that even small little willingness, that small little bit of open-mindedness can help you to recognize things and pay attention. Pay attention to smells. Pay attention to electronic equipment around you kind of doing weird things. Pay attention to something that feels like a coincidence but isn't and is somehow tied to them, whether it's a friend of theirs from the past or something. It somehow makes you remember them. Pay attention to these things because these are their ways of trying to get in touch with you. And it's not, it's really frustrating. Imagine trying to talk to somebody who you know is so upset about you maybe leaving. And you know that you're not, you haven't left. And you're still there, but you're just there in a different way. And you're trying to tell, almost practically scream, I'm here, I'm okay. But because of grief and because of doubt and because of that sense of there is no... Yeah. continuation, we can't hear. But if you just allow, even as I said, one little iota of open-mindedness to the potential that perhaps it isn't an ending, and pay attention. And I can pretty well guarantee, I feel pretty confident here, that you will have something occur that you will go, hey. Now, probably the first reaction that you'll also have after that is, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just my imagination. I get that a lot. Oh, it's just my imagination. And I assure a lot of people, no, it's not. No, it's not. So here we go. Ashes Mom, Ashes Mom, Ashes Mom. Janice on line one. Here's Ashes Mom. Hi, Janice.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're good.
How are you?
Good, good. I just want to put in my two cents.
Yay.
We come from a family of ladies that used to read cards and tea leaves and stuff, but we grew up with that, so we thought it was the way everybody was. And I think I've told the story before how I went to school and, you know, people were, all the kids in the class, you know, would think that's strange. But anyway, that kind of went into the background, and we had a death in the family of somebody that I was very close to, Auntie Mary. And she was like my best friend. She was like my mom, my sister, my aunt, Ash's grandma. She was just this woman that had so much so much life in her, a real sense of humor and everything. And I remember talking to her. I'd go and visit her every day in the home where she was staying, in the old age home. And I remember we would talk, and I'd say, if you go before I do, I want some kind of a sign that you're okay, that you've made it to the other side. And so after she passed away, this is really weird, but I was planning her funeral, and I was so distraught, and I was so sick, and I had to keep going. I had to find the strength from somewhere to plan this funeral. And I did. But in between, Ash and I went camping to where we camp. And it's like a resort. So we were staying there. And I remember about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm wide awake. Ash is sleeping in the other room. And I could feel my aunt's presence. And it was so real to me, like it was just, I knew it was her, and I could almost feel like the presence of her. I could smell her, I could feel her, and I was so distraught that I just told her. I said, you can't do this to me right now, because I haven't buried you yet. The funeral isn't for, you know, another couple of days. And I can't do this right now. I'm so devastated by your death. So we, Auntie Mary, I guess she left. And she didn't come back for a long time, but it was her coming to tell me that she made it to the other side and that she was okay. And for me not to grieve, but that we'd meet again, but it was so overwhelming to actually feel the real presence of her. And it wasn't a thought. It was, she was really there. I could feel her, and I could smell her. And then we didn't have anything, like, you know, the funeral, the grieving, the missing her, everything. Then it was Ash and I went to a church, and this is about a year later, and we were both sitting there. And I went, do you smell that smell? Auntie Mary had this beautiful aroma about her. And she went, yeah, I do. And I said, you know who that is? And she says, that's Auntie Mary. And for about 10 minutes, this aroma, really strong aroma of Auntie Mary, and we could both, you could almost taste it. It was so thick, her presence. Yeah. And it was her coming back saying, okay, can you take it now? And can you take me now? And but it was about a year later, and I could actually accept it. And what I learned from that is everybody has this sixth sense. Everybody can feel it. Everybody has the presence, because I mean, we are all going to the other side. We're all going to be there. We're all going to see everybody. It doesn't matter what faith you are, what color you are, what you believe in, what you don't believe in. The same God that created us is going to take us back. And I believe every animal, every insect, every bird, every cat, dog, mouse, everything is going back to the other side.
Do you remember when I got really mad at the Orthodox priest because he said our dogs weren't going to heaven?
Yes. Yeah, and you know, and she was little then, but it's and she'd still stand up to anybody. This kid had guts, but she really did. She you know, saw something or thought something, she'd tell you. It didn't matter who you were, but the thing is that we're all going to go there. And why is that so hard to believe? Why is that so hard to believe? That we're an energy, we're here, and energy doesn't die, it moves on. So why is it so hard to believe that we can actually still communicate with our loved ones on the side? I don't know, call me crazy, some people do.
Well, we love you so much.
You're not crazy, yeah, because if you're crazy, we're crazy.
Yeah, we really appreciate you.
Crazy.
Thank you for calling in, Janice, and sharing that. That's very inspiring, and you're speaking truths, and just from your own personal experience, yeah, it has more weight when it comes from a personal place. So thank you.
Everybody has their story.
Yeah, we do.
So I thought I'd pass mine on.
Well, thank you. We love you, and we'll say goodnight.
Love
because
you
we have to wrap up.
And talk to you guys later.
Yeah, yes, for sure.
Thank you for that. You're awesome. Okay. I love you.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Love you too. Bye. So anyways, we just got a tweet from our friend, and he says he loves these I'm Back, great groove and shock and awe ending. Also, I find most ghost type shows contrived.
Thank you from our friend from on Twitter for saying that.
Well, I just wanted to quickly respond and say we also find many of them contrived, but the challenge for all of us is to find the authenticity in all of this and to be okay with some of it is not authentic. And just sort of what fits for you, and that's what it's about, is they are both. They are real, this whole premise of ghosts or the other side spirits, and they are also contrived. So they're kind of both. So hopefully you have found some kind of solace in our stories, and you have your own, and maybe one day we'll hear them. So we love you. Kiss a tree. We're going to say goodnight.
Kiss a tree. Check out hologram.com. And also check out the bands we talked about, Calabrese, Incubus, Succubus, and Ghost.
Yes. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.